Stand, remain standing for the reading of the Word of God. There is no place else to go, ladies and gentlemen. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody's going to heaven without Him. Amen. It's an absolute fact. Good old hymn, been sung for years and years and years. Where could I go but to the Lord? I'm glad that He's there, that we can go to Him. Amen. That's right. And we have a great high priest there that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. There's no doubt about that. And He smiles on His children. Bless the Lord for His blessings upon our life. I'm going to ask you to turn in the book of Jeremiah this morning. Jeremiah chapter number 2, if you would. Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah and chapter number 2. Jeremiah chapter number 2. That's between Isaiah and Ezekiel. Jeremiah chapter number 2. Everybody finds their place. We'll begin reading in verse number 9. And Jeremiah chapter number 2. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 9. I didn't even have to look up, Brother Robert. I thought about it myself this time. What about that? All right, we're going to begin reading in verse number 9 of Jeremiah 2. The Lord says here, "Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath the nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." Now may the Lord bless the reading of that word. Let's pray. Our Father, I'm thankful for the word that is before us this morning and the great truth that lies within. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a Bible and set an example for us in the New Testament days through those that lived before us. Thank you, Lord, for your power and your presence. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for the people of God that have gathered here today. And I pray, Lord, that you'd meet with us. Without you, we can do nothing. I pray the Holy Spirit would breathe upon every person and enlighten their heart and magnify the Lord Jesus to their soul, that they might find grace and joy and happiness and peace within in their own personal lives. I pray for sinners, that they'd fall under conviction, and Lord, that they'd come to Christ and be saved before it's eternally too late. I pray for the power of God to be upon myself and help me. I pray you'll fill me with the Holy Spirit, give me grace and great liberty, and help me to preach this message today with power. May it transform the lives of people and bring glory to your wonderful name. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. All right, verse number 13 is our text verse this morning, where Jeremiah, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, said, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." Now, I want to preach for a little while this morning, if God will help me, on the thought, has your water run out? He said they had broken cisterns that could hold no water. And I'm preaching on the thought, has your water run out? Let me say a little bit about the text and a little bit about the prophet before we get into the message. I'll say a few things about Jeremiah himself. He's called the weeping prophet, because he wept over Jerusalem and the fact that Babylon was overrunning that city and was carrying them off into captivity. And Jeremiah prophesied during that Babylonian captivity. And he ministered to the people that remained in the homeland. And you know, that's an amazing thing. And I've said this before, I won't say it again, that God will always have a preacher for His people. While Jerusalem was being carried off into Babylon, God had with them Daniel and Ezekiel in captivity, prophesying to them. But He kept Jeremiah in the homeland to prophesy to them as well. and to preach to them. They didn't follow what he had to say, but God had a man there nonetheless. That shows us the mercy and the goodness of God to those in the land of the living. That he's always going to have someone around that will point them to Christ and point them in the right way. God told Jeremiah, said, tell the people don't go down into Egypt. But those left in the homeland disobeyed and they went down into Egypt anyway. But then I want to say another thing about Jeremiah. Apparently he was a young man when God commissioned him to the ministry. Now I get that from chapter 1 and verse number 4 where it says, then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, behold, I formed thee in the belly. I knew thee. I formed thee in the belly. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Then said I, that is Jeremiah saying, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Now, I don't think he was just literally a child as we know little bitty boys today. But I think he was a young man, or I don't think he would have used that terminology. But you know, the Lord touched his mouth and put the Word of God in his mouth. Amen. And that tells me that the Lord can use young people. You young people in here ought not get discouraged, but I'll tell you what you ought to do. You ought to set your heart and your mind on serving the Lord. Amen. Somebody said, well, I don't think that a man can seek God and God ever call him into the ministry. Well, I don't know about that. I think if we're young and we'll give ourselves wholly unto the Lord, there's a good possibility God will use you. And I'll tell you why. Because God always uses those that are already doing something in the house of God. God doesn't call loafers and sluggards into his ministry. He calls those that are already doing something in the house of God. And then I will say a couple other things. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, the prophet reminds the people of Judah or reminds them of their love that they once had for the Lord in the early days of their deliverance. Notice what he says there in verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend, evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. And what Jeremiah is saying there is, he's saying the Lord remembers those early days of your deliverance when you went after God, when you sought God, when you loved God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, when you were thankful in your heart for what God had done for you. But he said now he sees you as a people that have forsaken him, the fountain of living waters, and you went about to hew out cisterns, broken cisterns, cisterns that can hold no water. And Jeremiah reminds them of how their love once was and how their love is now. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, I believe I can say that about most of us today. I believe our hearts have grown somewhat cold and indifferent toward the Lord. And I don't know that we really love God like we did today we first got saved. You ought to let your mind go back there every now and then to when God first delivered you and brought you out of sin. And just remember that. Peter said that he thought it was meet to stir up their minds as long as he was in this tabernacle to stir up their minds. And I believe he would stir up their minds by reminding them of what Christ did for them and how he brought them out of sin and out of degradation, how he changed their life completely and wholly, how he gave them a hope of glory within their soul, how he gave them faith to believe in God, wrote their names down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and blessed them with all blessings in spiritual places, and then loaded them down every day with benefit. And I believe he's reminding them of that. Amen. That's right. His remembrance of them and their backsliding, he reminds them of that. Then in chapter 2 and verse number 9, he said, remind them of the love that he yet has for them and the mercy and the grace that he stands ready to bestow upon them. As he pleads with them and with their children's children, the Lord pleads with them to repent and turn from their backsliding. Look at verse number 9. He said, wherefore I will plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. You know, that's a marvelous thing. The Lord said, I'm going to plead with three generations of people to try to get them right with God. That's a marvelous thing. That shows me the long-suffering that God has toward us, ladies and gentlemen. Now, hey, that ought to make us jump up and shout when we realize how patient God is with fallen humanity. I'm telling you, God knows fallen humanity. He knows the heart. He knows what we are and how we are. And God is very patient with us. And He told Jeremiah here, He said, I'm not only going to plead with them, I'm going to plead with their children. And when their children come along, I'm going to plead with them also that they might return unto the Lord. Yes. Amen. So they said, this generation has forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they've hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold absolutely no water whatsoever. Amen. Then he says there in chapter verses 11 and 12, he reveals the outward appearance and the magnitude and the folly of their sin. He also exposes their wickedness and the sin that they're involved in. Look at verse 11 and 12. He said, hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. In other words, the Lord, here's what the Lord said. He said, you have tried to trade me for another god. In fact, you have traded me for another god. He said, look at the other nations around you and see if there's any of them that have ever traded the god or got rid, changed the god that they have. Oh, no. Baal has always been the god of the Philistines, always has been. And they've never changed their god. But the Lord said, you have tried your best. You have changed your god. You have changed your glory for a God that cannot profit. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when the glory of God comes off of His people, they're in sad shape. And what they're, and the sin, come on in the house now. The sin they're involved in is the sin of idolatry. That is a horrible sin in the eyes of God. When we leave off the God that has commanded us to love Him with all of our heart, mind, body, and soul, and we depart from Him and begin to love a God, another God, that has no profit whatsoever. That other God is like a cistern, not just a cistern, but a broken cistern that cannot hold any water and has no profit at all for the people. I don't know how many of y'all read your bulletins this morning, but if you haven't, I want to read it for you. I want to read what Charles Spurgeon said in a little book I just started reading on yesterday. He said, a man cannot love sin and yet possess the life of God. If he takes pleasure in fleshly joys, wherein he once delighted in, he is still what he was. In other words, he's never been changed. He minds the things of the flesh, and therefore he is after the flesh, and he shall die. And I didn't say that. Spurgeon said that. Spurgeon said a man cannot sin, and once he's been saved, he cannot sin. Come on now, boys, tighten up. He cannot sin and love those things that he once loved and still have the life of God in him. It's an impossibility. In other words, you cannot love the world and the sin that God brought you out of and be saved by the grace of God. There is absolutely no way. It's an impossibility. Because when God saves a man, we're new creatures in Christ, and old things have passed away. And behold, all things have been made new. Hallelujah. That's right now. That is exactly right. Now, Israel went after other gods, which the heathen haven't done, and which will never profit them spiritually. And in our text verse, the Lord describes the two evils of His people. And I want to preach on them a little while. He said in verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. Number one, he said, they have forsaken me. Amen. Forsaken me. The fountain of living waters. Amen. And they forsaken me for a cistern. That can a broken cistern. One that cannot hold water. Now somebody said, preacher, what were those two evils? Okay, write them down if you want. They're all I'm preaching on this morning. But they were the evils of ingratitude and folly. Ingratitude and folly. They had sinned so against God that they had left off being thankful for what God had done for them. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. When we begin to forget about God, and we're no longer thankful for where God brought us out of and what God has done for us, and we can't be real thankful in our heart for that, we've got some deep spiritual problems down in our soul. He said there's two evils there, and they are gratitude and they are folly. In fact, they had forsaken the Lord. And they had attached themselves to idols. Now, I want you to listen carefully. That word forsaken is a much stronger language than John used in Revelation 2:4 about the church at Ephesus when he said, thou hast left thy first love. Amen. They had left their first love, but Israel had forsaken their God. Oh, man, I'm telling you, if we get a hold of that this morning, it'll cause us to search our heart. They just hadn't left. They had forsaken. That means they had given up all hope. They had went so far that they were away from Him. I mean, far away from Him and had no hope in Him whatsoever anymore. They had traded Him for something that could not profit them. They had already forsaken the Lord. They hadn't just left their first love, but they had forsaken God. That same kind of statement that our Lord made when He died on Calvary. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The same thing David said in Psalm 22 when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. The truth of the matter is that God completely separated Himself from the Son while the Son paid for our sin debt. And what Jeremiah is saying here is, he is saying, you have completely cut off your God. God didn't cut you off. He said, you've cut God off. God didn't cut you off. You've cut God off, and you've left Him who is the fountain of living water, and you've dug your little cistern over here and got your other God, and I'll tell you that it's going to leak away and vanish away, and it'll absolutely profit you nothing. Amen. Amen. That's right. God didn't cut them off, and God didn't forsake them. They forsook the Lord. Now, they not only had forsaken Him, but I do believe in a way they had forgotten Him. They had forgotten His deliverance from bondage. They had forgotten the fact that He brought them out of Egypt. You know, we'll never get tired of hearing that story. How God went down into that pagan world and brought them out by the grace of God. Can I say this to you? That we had that same pagan world within our hearts that they were living in. Come on in the house, boys and girls. And God came into your soul where that pagan land occupied your life. And God delivered you from that bondage of that pagan world and brought you out of that pagan world in your heart. Somebody say amen right there. Thanks be unto God. That's right. He brought us out of that bondage. And that world had us in bondage. Amen. That's right. Come on now. And they had forgotten that God had delivered them from that bondage down in Egypt. Now, hey, not only did He deliver them, but He brought them across the Red Sea. He brought them through the wilderness. Now, I'm going to tell you, I didn't learn this until just the other day. I want everybody to listen to what I'm saying. But every one of us in here this morning that God has delivered out of Egypt, we have also had the wilderness in our own heart. Now, I'm telling you, God has to bring us through that wilderness. And until God does bring you through that wilderness, you'll never make it to Canaan. Somebody said, well, I don't want to get to Canaan. Well, bless your pea-picking heart. That's where our blessings lie, is on the other side of Jordan. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about across Jordan in the land of Canaan, in that Spirit-filled life is where our blessings are. And you're going to have to go through that wilderness in your heart before you ever get there. That same God that led them through that wilderness can lead you through that wilderness also. And they had forgotten that God had delivered them out of the land of bondage. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I think Baptists have forgotten that today. Amen. I really do. Forgotten where God brought us from. What we were when God found us. Come on in the house now. They had not only forgotten his deliverance from bondage, but they had forgotten his destruction of the enemy. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what on earth are you talking about? I'm talking about Pharaoh. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, Pharaoh thought in his heart that he'd go after them. And he did go after them. And I'm going to tell you, like a fool, he tried to follow them into the Red Sea to destroy them. He had so much anger and so much rage within his heart that he followed them to his own destruction. Doing his best to destroy them. Now come on in the house now. Now I'm telling you that is what the devil has done to every one of you and I that are in here that are saved this morning. When God brought us out of Egypt and brought us through that Red Sea, I'm telling you the devil was hot on your heels, ladies and gentlemen, trying his best to destroy you. But we ought to be thankful this morning. Amen. We ought to be thankful to that God that brought us through that Red Sea and then drowned the devil and they tried to follow in behind us. Amen. That's exactly right. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm thank God. We ought to be thankful for our deliverance. We ought to be thankful for His destruction of our enemy. Somebody said, has He destroyed them? I'll tell you what Spurgeon said. Spurgeon said, on the cross, Jesus put His heel of iron on the head of the serpent and bruised it, that you and I might be delivered by His marvelous grace. Hallelujah to God. That's what it said in the book of Genesis. It said He'll bruise His head and He'll bruise His heel. Oh, and I'm glad the seed of the woman, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, bruised the head of the serpent. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying He's already a destroyed enemy of the people of God. Hey, He has absolutely no power over you and I except what God allows Him to have. And He knows He's not only He has already been destroyed. His power's been destroyed. God put that foot on His head, buddy. That's right. I think sometimes we forget that our enemy has been destroyed. Now, some of you have never been to combat. You have no idea what I'm talking about. But I'm going to tell you, when you're laying there in that foxhole and there's shells bouncing around your head and in the dirt in front of you, amen. Them mortar rounds popping all around you. And you're a popping back and a popping back. And then gunfire begins to slow down and slow down and slow down. And you realize the enemy is in retreat. And that battle is over and the victory's been won. And the bullets is no longer firing around your head. Oh, I'm telling you, that does make a man feel real good. That he can lay back and rest a little bit. Now, I'm going to tell you, we don't always have to be in a turmoil. Our hearts don't always have to be troubled. Praise God, we can lay back and have a little peace in our heart, knowing that God has destroyed our enemy. He's delivered us and destroyed our enemy. Amen, that was trying to destroy us. Thank His, bless His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Now stay right with me. I'm trying to preach to you a little while. If God will help me. Jeremiah himself said in Jeremiah 2 and verse number 32, he said, can a maid forget her ornaments? Or a bride her attire? He said, yet my people have forgotten me days without end. Isn't that terrible? To go days upon days upon days upon days upon days upon days and never think of Jesus. Never give Him a thought. Never let race out of the house in the morning without ever giving Christ a thought. Never let His name come across our mind all day long. And the only time He ever crosses our mind is when we come to church two or three times a week. God help us if we're like that. God help us if we're like that. I'm telling somebody, I said, but we come to church to worship. I'm telling you, we ought to worship Him 7 days a week. He is worthy of our praise and He's worthy of our worship. And He seeketh us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be doing that by the grace and help of God. I'm going to tell you why we're not. We're not thankful anymore. We've got ingratitude in our heart and we're not thankful for where God's brought us from and thankful for what God's done for us. We don't realize He's already crushed the enemy. That's right. We don't realize that. He's already crushed the enemy, buddy. Amen to God. We ought not to forget Him days after days after day. And then, you listen carefully, I'm talking about the two evils. The first one, that they had committed, they had forsaken me, He said, the fountain of living waters. And then they had departed, the third thing, from that fountain of living waters. Now notice for me, notice quickly, He said, they have forsaken me, forsaken God.
Amen.
And He said, I am a fountain of living waters. And they have forsaken me. Boy, I'm telling you, that don't even make good common sense to leave a fountain for an old cistern. Everybody in here knows what a cistern is. I mean, it don't even make sense to leave a fountain that's bubbling up for a cistern that you dug. That don't make any sense. But that's exactly what Israel did. Somebody said, how'd they do that? I'm going to tell you how. For it. Come on now. I'm telling you, the devil and sin and the world, ladies and gentlemen, can play a big role in our lives and can certainly blind our eyes and our minds to the truth of the gospel. Amen. That's right. And it can do a pretty good job on us that are saved by His marvelous grace, too. You better believe it can. All right, listen to me. They had departed from the fountain of living waters. That living water, what did it do? Well, number one, it regenerates the dead.
Yeah.
They had left a fountain that regenerates the dead.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, preacher, what are you saying? Well, I can give an illustration. What about that young lady in John chapter number 4? That woman in John chapter 4, when the Bible said that Jesus made the statement to His disciples, He said, I must needs go through Samaria. He didn't go through Samaria, ladies and gentlemen, for no reason at all. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. You know why I must needs go through there? Because He was God and He knew in His mind that there was a little old harlot over there going down to draw out some water out of a well. Amen. And she needed God. And somebody said, did He know her heart? Absolutely knew her heart. Amen. And though I'll never be convinced that little girl wasn't thinking about God before she ever picked up the water pots and went down there. At least she was. When He got there, His disciples went into town. He met that little Samaritan girl that the Jews have no dealings with. And they begin to talk, and Jesus, she said, well, you don't have any dealings with us. What are you speaking to me for? And Jesus said, if you knew who it was that spoke to you, you would ask, and He'd give you living water.
Amen.
She said, how are you going to give me water? This well is deep. Our father Jacob dug it, and it's real deep. He said, you don't have anything to draw with. And Jesus said, a man that drinks of this water will thirst again. But He said, any man that drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst again, but it shall be in him. Oh, man. It shall be in him a fountain of water, a river of water, springing up unto everlasting life. Are you listening to me? Thanks be unto God. You better believe it will. That'll be that water that I give. Now, they left God. They left God, that fountain of living waters that regenerates dead sinners, for a stinking cistern that was broken and couldn't hold water. And if it couldn't hold water, that tells me it was a dry hole.
Amen.
They left the water for a dry hole that could not regenerate and save anybody. God help America today. God help our churches today. I'm telling you, in our churches, they've departed from that fountain of living waters. I want to ask you something this morning. Had your water run out, or are you still drinking? You tried to suck from a cistern, or are you drinking from a fountain? Praise God, I'm glad this morning I got my mouth cut over a fountain. Amen. A well of water springing up into my soul in everlasting life. Amen to God, that's right. Has your water run out? You got a cistern, or you got a fountain this morning? Which one? A broken cistern at that. That's right. They left that fountain that regenerated the dead. They left that fountain that not only regenerates the dead, but it revives the drooping. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean it revives the drooping? Well, there's a man in the Bible by the name of Samson. And as far as I know, Samson was a Nazarite. And as far as I know, he disobeyed God in every aspect of the Nazarite vow. Every one of them. Now, I don't understand the story of Samson. It's a strange story to Brother Hall. But he disobeyed God in every Nazarite vow that he took. And he wound up with his head in the lap of a harlot.
Amen.
And lost his power when his hair was cut. And wound up down yonder in a prison at the mill, grinding at the mill with his eyes put out and his legs in irons.
Amen.
What happened to Samson? You know, there come a day when old Samson's hair began to grow. Amen to God. Isn't God good to us?
Amen.
Folks, I'm telling you, God, no. Y'all ain't. God ain't going to leave us on that wheel for all of our life. Amen. His hair started to grow again. Somebody said, well, I've lost the power of God. Praise God, you can get her back, ladies and gentlemen. That hair can grow again. Hallelujah to God. That hair grew out, and the Philistines were so ignorant they didn't even pay attention to it. They were the ones that cut it. They knew that if it grew out, the power came back, and they didn't bother to cut it. They turned him loose.
Right.
And when he got up there to make sport for him, he told that boy, he said, where's the pillars at here? But he went through those pillars, and he so much, he said, Lord, do it one more time. And he said, avenge me of my eyes. He pushed those columns down, the house fell, and he killed more in his death than he killed in his whole life. That had to be a lot, because I'm getting to my point now. Hey, he killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. Laid that jawbone down, and the Bible said, let me just read it. I won't try to quote it. I want to read it exactly how it says out of the Bible. And it says, and he was sore thirst and called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave a hollow place in the jaw, and there came water thereout, and he drank, and his spirit came again, and he revived.
Amen.
Somebody said, what are you saying? I'm saying that God was so good to him, he cast that jawbone aside, but when he cried to God that he was thirsty, God clave a hollow place in that jawbone of that donkey, buddy, and water came out of it, and he drank again, and his spirit was revived. What would have happened to Samson if it had been a dry cistern there instead of a spring of water? That's exactly what that word means, the jawbone, a clave of God. That means that there was I believe he pulled a tooth out of that thing. That's literally what it means, that a tooth was removed and a spring of water started coming up out of it. God pulled that donkey's tooth. Amen. There was a spring of water under it. Woo! Hey, no wonder it was in there. He had just killed 1,000 Philistines with it. I don't know much about that jawbone, but I'm going to tell you, there is a mystery in that jawbone of that donkey, buddy. I mean, God used it to kill 1,000 Philistines, and then used it to pull a tooth and give his man a drink of water out of it.
Amen.
Thank God it wasn't a dry socket.
Right.
Woo! I've had teeth pulled and said, you got a dry socket, boy. I'm going to say, hey, it wasn't a dry socket. It had a spring of water in it. Hallelujah.
Yes.
It had a fountain of living water in it. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And it was able to revive him that was drooping in his soul.
Amen.
I want to tell you today, you might be drooping in your soul in here this morning. I tell you, put a smile on your face and get a drink of that water out of that fountain. God able to revive your heart today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me all walk around. Bless God, you got carpet burns on your lower lips. Get that fountain, that water. You still got the fountain. You're not drinking out of an old broken cistern. You're still loving God. You're still serving God. You've not went after other gods. Not went after false gods. You're still serving Jesus. Amen. Boy, I wish God'd give me something on that jawbone, man. I got to think about that just now, and it's just about to drive me crazy. Something special about that jawbone. Has to be. Has to be. Hey, I'm going to tell you one thing. God have mercy, Brother Ricker. That jawbone, hey, it was a dry jawbone. That tells me it's been laying there for a long time. I'm telling you, that fountain's been around a long time, ladies and gentlemen. Thank God it's been around before man was ever put on this earth. Thank God there's a fountain you can drink from that'll not only regenerate you, but I'm telling you, it'll revive you as well. Oh, will thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? I'm telling you, we need an old-fashioned heaven sent Holy Ghost revival around this place. It'll put the devil on a run, hallelujah to God, and put us to shouting and praising God one more time. Amen. That's right. I'm telling you, that fountain, they deserted it. They forsook it. And it regenerated dead sinners, and it revived drooping saints. Revives the drooping. I want to say also it refreshes the weak and the weary and the discouraged. It'll refresh them. That's right. Solomon said in Proverbs 25:25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to tell you what. When that water came out of that jawbone, it was good news from a far country. You ever seen a jawbone big enough to hold a fountain of water? I'm going to tell you that water was coming from great depths. It was coming from a far country. Now I'm going to tell you that water that little girl at that well drank that morning was coming from great depths. It was coming. Hallelujah. It was coming from a far country, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! It didn't just spring up itself. Praise God, it had a power behind it springing it up. And that power was God Almighty. And God Almighty, His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, you can talk God to this world all you want to talk to. They won't get upset, but start telling them that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. And they'll get all upset. Amen. Because God to this crowd can be anybody and anything. Be a tree, a rock, whatever they want to make their God.
Oh, praise
Al Gore likes to squeeze them trees. Loves green grass. He wouldn't love Arizona too well. I didn't see much while I was out there unless you watered it 24 hours a day. Didn't have any place to grow a root. It was always a rock. When I first went out there, I still got the little thing somewhere. Brother Donnie Glass sent me a little cartoon of a little old Mexican boy walking through the wilderness, walking through the desert. And he was standing there all by himself, and he looked down and he said, "Hello, rock." That's all there was a rock. He said, "Hello, rock." Praise God. That's a pretty good thought. That might have been the right kind of a rock. Amen. There may have been water in that rock, too. That fountain may have been in that rock, ladies and gentlemen. As well as that jawbone, and as well as Jacob's well, there may have been water in that rock. Hallelujah. There was a fountain of water in that rock that sprang up an everlasting life. Woo-wee. Thank God. Now I'm telling you, it'll refresh. You get a drink of that water, boy, it'll refresh. You may be discouraged. In your heart. Go home today. Get out your Bible. Get your lips up against that fountain and drink.
Amen.
See if it don't revive you a little bit and refresh you.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, sir. How many of you have been outside and at 95 degrees and the humidity is about 110 and the sweat rolling off you all the way down to your little pinky and rolling off in your shoes till they squash with sweat in them? You walk in the house. And your wife is there, and she's got a big glass of ice water, boy. Isn't that good? Woo! That's good, son. You're talking about refreshing you. Don't want to drink too much of it. It might give you a little tummy ache with all that ice. But you can drink all of it you want without ice in it, and it won't hardly hurt you. But it'll help you. It'll refresh you. That's what that fountain will do, buddy. And they had forsaken it for a cistern that held no water. It's a broken cistern. They forsook that well, that fountain. Now listen carefully. Now I want to preach a little bit on the folly, on their folly. Their ingratitude, but their folly that they had. They hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns. Hey, water ran through the cracks into the clay that it had been hewn out of. Now God, give me this morning. Had water in that cistern. Run out of them cracks into the clay that they had hewn the cistern out of. I don't know how. I'm not saying this is a Bible fact, so don't take me to task on it, because I'm not going to argue about it, because I really don't know. But I can tell you one thing. That broken cistern, if that water runs back out into that clay, I'm going to tell you what I think. I think what he's saying is that that water is running right back to man where it came from. Only natural man. Your feet is the natural man, that clay man, that fleshly man. You're not getting anything spiritual. It's running out into the clay. It's a broken cistern. And the water runs out into the clay. The clay that you're made out of. And that flesh, it'll absolutely profit nothing.
Amen.
It's what this man believes. You can believe whatever you want to believe, but that's exactly what I believe, folks. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now listen carefully. I almost put my back. Almost looked like Ethan the other day. He walked around in there going. That boy liked them shades, son. Amen. He liked them shades upside down, right side up. It didn't matter to him. He just liked them shades. Amen. Now, listen to this. A fountain springs forth of its own source and supply. That's right. Of its own source and supply. It comes up out of the ground on its own. There's a little old spring up there by Sodom Cemetery where all my people are buried. A little old monument there where the Indians massacred some people back in the 1800s. Go down off over that hill and there's a bunch of honeysuckles and things down there, and you'll start marching into some wet places in those leaves that have fallen off those trees. And you better be careful. You better be punching with a stick in front of you. I'm gonna tell you why. Out there somewhere is a spring, a fountain. That is, I'm 63 years old, and it's been running as long as I know. My daddy died several years ago at almost the age of 90, and had been running as long as my daddy could remember. I'm telling you, you didn't have to pump it. You didn't have to prime it. It just kept on flowing. What are you saying, preacher? I'm going back to the folly in just a minute, but I got to hit that fountain one more time. That fountain that I'm talking about is ever flowing, boy. Woo! It never runs dry. It is ever flowing for you and I. But boy, here is a blessing. It's not ever flowing. It's overflowing. Hallelujah to God. It's overflowing. It cannot be contained in nothing. You can't stop God, friend. You can't stop water. I don't care what you do unless you seal up something. Now you're going to find it hard to stop. I don't care how you seal it. It'll find a way to get around anything you do. Water will go to the lowest point and keep on running and find a way. You think it ain't got a force? What about that water? It ran down through Arkansas out there the other day. Somebody said that that river rose 31 feet above flood stage. Swept all those people away. Said wrapped semi-trucks around trees. Campers and automobiles upside down. Amen. One woman said she woke up and there's water crawling, creeping under the door. By the time she'd get her family up and try to get them halfway before you ever get any clothes packed, they was in water chest deep. Just like that.
Amen.
One man said he pulled his truck up and parked it up to the beside two trees, and him and his wife got out and stood up on the top of the toolbox, and at one time the water was chest deep and they was hanging onto a tree limb with water chest deep on a toolbox on a truck. You listen to what I'm saying? Water. You can't stop it. It'll just keep on running. As long as it's got a supply, it'll keep on running. Now, if it doesn't have a supply, it'll run out. That's why that cistern ran out. It didn't have a supply to feed it. It was a dead well, a dead socket. Amen. Nothing there to feed that cistern. But oh, hey. Woo! Thank God that fountain of living water. It's always running. Hallelujah. It's not ever flowing and it's overflowing. Nothing can stop it. The devil can't stop it. Hell can't stop it. Death can't stop it. It's overflowing all the time. Amen. Won't you dive in today? Praise God, you dive in. So I said, what if I hit the bottom? Don't worry about that. It comes from great depths. You ain't going to hit the bottom.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now listen carefully. A cistern. That fountain sprung forth of its own source and power. But that cistern had to be hewed out or dug by their own labors. In other words, are you listening to what I'm getting ready to tell you now? Maybe I won't say this right now. I'll say it again in a minute. But I'm going to tell you what. Yeah. They traded grace for works.
Yeah.
God help America. God help fallen humanity. They've went about to establish their own righteousness by their own works, and they failed God, they failed grace. They put themselves under works and they're dying and going to hell. No man can be justified by works. But you can work until you're half dead for God, and it ain't going to profit you one thing unless you're saved by His marvelous grace. I don't care how much work you do. I don't care how many beads you pray over. You ain't going to work enough to get saved. But they traded that fountain of living waters, the grace of God, something they didn't deserve that God gave them anyway, for a stinking dry well that they had to labor and sweat for on their own that would not hold water after they got it dug. That's the way a lot of people's religion is. They've dug a cistern and it's went dry. They've run out of water. How about you today? You run out of water? You run out of water, you still got a little drink. Still drinking from that fountain. Now listen carefully, I'm just about done, I think. It was broken. That's what it says in our text. It said, forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns. Now I want you to get a hold of this. I like to have a shouting spell. That don't mean that cistern just all of a sudden, Brother Gray. It don't mean that it just broke all at once and caved away. I'm going to tell you what it means. Anybody in here ever work out in the field and crop corn barehanded? You know what I'm saying? Had them old corn shuck thing. You throw it into a wagon. That was a long time before these fancy corn pickers come in. These was corn pickers when I was a boy. And them was corn pickers. Amen. That's right. Huh?
Two-row pickers.
Yes, sir. Two-row corn pickers. Throw them in a wagon. Sometimes we'd throw them in a pile and a wagon come behind and somebody else would pick up the pile and throw them in a wagon. But what that means is that fountain broke a little bit at a time. It didn't do it all of a sudden. They didn't go away from God all of a sudden. Little by little. Here a little, there a little. They forsook God. Not all at once. Here a little, there a little. Down the road a little. I'm going to tell you what it means. Sam, it means just like they took an ear of corn. They took that big long ear of corn. They plucked off one grain. Plucked off another grain. Plucked off another grain. Plucked off another grain. They just kept on plucking off those grains. You know what will happen if you keep on plucking them grains off? You know what you wind up with? You'll wind up with nothing but a cob. And that's what happened to their little cistern. They left the fountain of living waters, dug them a little cistern, and little by little it just broke off. Broke off. And it wasn't a cob they were left with. It was a dry well. A dry cistern. Nothing in it. No moisture at all. It was like them little kids in, I believe it's Jeremiah 14, that went down to the water pits. When they got there, they found no water. And they come back with their heads covered. Ashamed. Because there was no water in the pit. God help us. Man, I'm going to tell you. You may not drink it. But I'm going to tell you, every time I come to this house of God, I want to do my best to give a little bit of water.
Yes.
I'm telling you, sinners will die and go to hell unless they get a drink of it.
Yes.
Boy, I want all mankind. I want everybody I can. I want everybody that I can see get a drink of that fountain of living water. Yes. That'll spring up unto eternal and everlasting life in their soul.
Yes.
Don't try to dig your own little well. God's given you grace. Lean on it. Love it. Praise God. Trust it. Don't try to work your way in. Trust that grace, unmerited favor, undeserving favor. We all ought to be in hell, bro. I'm not ready to take a lap and I'm afraid to. I'm afraid that mode button will kick in. But what a God.
Amen.
Amen. Little at a time, it chipped away and chipped away and chipped away till there was nothing left of their little sister. It was all gone. It held no water. Their labors were all in vain. Notice what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 2:13. He's not. Now I'm talking about ingratitude and folly.
Amen.
What is the opposite of that? Of ingratitude and folly? Wisdom. Listen to what Solomon says. in Ecclesiastes. He said, then I saw wisdom. That wisdom excelleth folly, as far as the light excelleth darkness. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if I can break that down in our text, that fountain excelled a cistern as far as light excelled darkness.
Yep.
Praise God, we better get a hold of that, friend.
Amen.
Hallelujah, it is a wonderful name.
Yes,
amen. They were left in great want. When the cistern went dry, broke up and went dry, they had nothing. And just like that boy, that prodigal in Luke 15, when he run down to the far country, when his money was all spent and the famine set in, and said he spent everything that he had, and he began to be in want. Can you imagine these people when their cistern went dry? We need water! We need water! You know what they're saying? They're saying the same thing Lazarus said in hell. I need water. I mean, the rich man said in hell. Not Lazarus. Got my tongue crossed. We need water. Give me a drink of water. You don't have any water. All you've got is an empty cistern, friend.
Amen.
That cistern will follow you all the way to Hades and back.
Amen.
Better believe it will. When it runs dry, friend, it'll leave you in great want. There won't be any water. They labored, and it vanished away, little at a time, and they began to be in want. Now here's a closing thought. They traded life for death.
Amen.
They gave up a fountain of living waters for a dead, dry cistern. They traded life for death.
Amen.
That don't sound like too good of a trade for me. Don't sound like a good deal. I'm going to tell you what I did. What probably some of you in here need to do. I traded death for life.
Amen.
Oh, God. God, help us. Yes, Jesus took my death upon Him and died for me.
Yes.
And died as me. Amen. I'm going to tell you what Spurgeon said in that little book I'm reading. It's one of the most wonderful little books. 6 and 7 pages in each chapter is all it is. Buddy, I'm telling you, it's some of the richest stuff I've ever read from. He got to talking about that death. Oh, yes, friend. And he said, death will come. Now I'm telling you what he said. No man can still live in his own sins. His own sins. And possess life, he will die in his sins.
Yeah,
Jesus said, if you die in your sins where I am, you cannot come. They died being in want. Why? Why would anyone die being in want of water when right beside of them is a fountain springing up that is a fountain of living water? They turn their back on that living water and say, I'm going to dig me out one over here, believe it. Think I can do a little better over here digging than I can do over there. Labor and work. I never enjoyed work that well that I'd work my way into hell. That's
Amen.
What they did. They worked their way into hell rather than drinking their way
Amen.
That fountain of water into heaven. Let's stand together.